children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
A great way to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
What did God do next, Dad?
On the fourth day, the Bible tells us, God created the sun and the moon and the stars. I wonder if you children have any idea of the immense size of the universe and of the incredible large distances involved.
I know the sun is 93 million miles away from us.
Do you know how big it is?
I read somewhere that if the sun were hollow, over a million Earths could fit inside.
Can you name all the planets in the solar system?
Well, there's Mars and Venus and, Jupiter.
The Earth, Mercury, Saturn, and Uranus.
There are two more, Neptune and Pluto. Pluto is the one furthest away from the sun at 3,670 million miles, and that's just in our own solar system. But our sun is only one of the billions of other stars in the universe, and not a particularly big one. The star Antares, for instance, is so large that our solar system, up to the orbit of Mars, would fit inside it.
That's some star.
How far away are the stars, Dad?
The star next nearest to us is 26 million million miles away. 300,000 times farther than the sun. Distances get so great that astronomers measure them by light years. That is, the distance light travels in 1 year, 6 million million miles. On that scale, the next nearest star is 4.4 light years distant.
I can't imagine how far that is.
Well, I'll put it this way. Take a dime. You see how thin it is? Well, if the thickness of a dime represented the distance from us to the sun, then the nearest star would be 10 miles away.
Boy!
Now, the reason I'm telling you these few simple facts about the solar system and the stars is that I want you to appreciate the incredible range of God's work. Now, just think. He created something as small as an apple seed, to say nothing of the atoms composing it, at one end of the scale, and then at the other, a star as enormous as Antares.
But on the next day, the fifth day, the Bible tells us God created something even more miraculous. He made the first actually living and moving creatures, the fish in the waters of the ocean.
Experts estimate that there are over 30,000 species of fish, so we ought to be able to name quite a few.
Well, there's salmon and perch, eels, haddocks, herring, trout,
and marlin, and sharks, and flying fish,
and tuna fish, then there's pilchards and whitefish.
And catfish and dogfish. I wonder if they fight when they meet.
Oh, you and your silly jokes.
We could go on naming fish all day, but let's see. What is a fish exactly?
It's an animal that can swim.
Most animals can swim.
I mean it lives underwater.
Right, and that means, of course, that it has to be able to breathe underwater.
But how? There isn't any air underwater.
That's one of the wonderful things about fish. They are actually able to extract some of the oxygen found in the water through special organs called gills.
So a fish is a living organism with a backbone that can swim and breathe underwater. And once more, we marvel at the breathtaking ingenuity of God's work and the diversity of his creatures. Not content with making the fish, God went on the same day to make the birds.
Do you remember the sparrow's nest we found once?
It had 4 eggs in it.
There's so much to be said about birds, and there are so many different kinds, it's hard to know where to begin. Think of the way swallows, for instance, are able to fly to warmer lands in the wintertime and return unerringly over vast distances to their point of departure. Think of the astonishing eyesight of the hawk, who can spot a field mouse from a mile up in the sky.
Or the majesty of the eagle or the giant condor soaring over snow-topped mountains. The brilliant plumage of the peacock. The way a hummingbird can hover in midair, his tiny wings beating so rapidly you can hardly see them.
Well, then there's the ostrich that can run as fast as a horse, and the mockingbird who can so faithfully imitate the song of other birds.
Don't you feel the vast breadth of vision of God, the Creator, his artistry, his unbelievable imagination and skill?
Oh, I do, Mother, I do.
Now, let's listen to the way the Bible puts what we have been discussing. I want you children to learn to love the beauty of its language, the strength of its rhythms, the poetry of its diction.
And God said,
let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth.
And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the 4th day. And God said,
let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven.
And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying,
be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth.
And the evening and the morning were the 5th day.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
From the fisherman. Peter was a fisherman, and he made a little wish to catch a lot of fish, but instead he ended up with an empty dish. So Jesus said, Peter, try the other side. Jesus said, Peter, try the other side. So he threw his nets into the rolling sea, and he said, look at all the fish that came to me. Said Peter, you come follow me, and instead of catching fish, you'll be catching men, and in my Father's house, your life will never end, your life will never end, your life will never end, your life will never end.
Hey, Pastor Perez, what are you doing?
I'm building a prison for those who don't come to church each week.
Looks more like a doghouse.
Yeah, or that. What's on your mind, Miss Hannah?
Well, I've been praying a lot lately, just like you suggested.
And?
And I don't think I'm doing it right. I don't think God is listening.
Why do you say that?
Nothing has changed. Everything is still the same.
Really?
Yeah. I still go to school each day, come home, eat supper, play with my little brother for a while, do my homework, say goodnight to my mom, and go to sleep. Then, the next day, I do the very same thing again.
Let's see. I may not have added right, but you just mentioned 7 answers to prayer right there.
I did?
Sure. 1, you go to school. Millions of kids in this world don't have that opportunity. 2, you come home. In war-torn nations, many kids don't have a real home to come home to. 3, you eat supper. I don't have to tell you about the famines in so many parts of the world. 4, you play with your little brother. He's healthy and strong. That's a true blessing. 5, you do your homework, which means you're learning new things. 6, you say goodnight to your mom. A whole lot of orphans would give anything to be able to do that. And 7, you sleep safe and sound in your comfortable bed. Hannah, that's 7 answered prayers right there. 7 wonderful blessings.
Wow. I never thought of it that way. You know what, Pastor Perez? Tonight, I'm going to thank God that nothing has changed, that everything is still the same.
I think that's a very good idea, Hannah.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Sometimes problems are just too hard to figure out or too big to handle. But you know, God is very wise, and He's bigger than any problem you might have. So trust Him, not just with your head, but with your heart.
Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct.
boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 2, Wild Horse Mountain Retreat. Soon the Adamses pulled up behind the Vargas family in front of their cabins at Wild Horse Mountain Retreat. Dee Dee saw that the teller's van was already parked in front of one of the cabins. She hopped out of the car, and Zach followed right behind her. Zach ran over to greet Chris, Maria, and Willie. Willie had brought his dog, Coco, too. Dee Dee grabbed Zach's leash and ran to catch up. "Want to go explore after Sammy and Jenny get here and we're all moved in?" Dee Dee asked. "Sure," Willie said. "I want to go find the horses. Dad says we can go for a ride tomorrow." "Your dogs are so cute," a strange voice said. Dee Dee, Willie, Chris, and Maria whirled around at the same time. "Who are you?" Dee Dee asked, her heart pounding twice as fast as normal. She hadn't realized someone was right behind them. The stranger was a girl with tan skin, jet black hair, and beautiful sparkling black eyes. "My name is Ruth Thompson," the girl said, looking at Dee Dee. "I'm Dee Dee Adams. This is Maria Vargas and her brother Chris." "And I'm Willie Teller," Willie introduced himself. Dee Dee tried to smile and act friendly, but she was still kind of upset. She was sure Ruth had meant to scare them by sneaking up behind them. Then she remembered the lesson at the shoebox last week. "I guess I shouldn't be so quick to judge other people," she suddenly thought. "Maybe Ruth didn't mean to scare us." No one said anything for a few minutes. Ruth acted nervous the way she shifted back and forth on her feet. She looked like a pine tree swaying in the wind. "Anyway, I just thought your dogs were really cute. I like dogs," Ruth said. "Thank you," Dee Dee replied. Willie pointed at his dog. "That's Coco. He's really friendly. You can pet him if you want." Willie rolled forward and called Coco. "Come here, Coco. This is Ruth." Coco stopped playing with Zach and jumped into Willie's lap. Zach shook his head as if he was confused. Then he chased after Coco, but he skidded to a stop when Ruth knelt down in front of him. "Who are you, little doggie?" Ruth asked as she reached out to pet Zach. Zach wagged his tail and went right up to Ruth. "That's Zach," Dee Dee said. "He's my dog." Dee Dee tried to keep from feeling jealous while Ruth petted Zach. Worst of all, Zach seemed to like Ruth almost better than he liked anyone else. Suddenly, Ruth jumped to her feet. She stared off into the forest. "What's the matter?" Chris asked. "I just thought we were being spied on." Dee Dee shuddered. She noticed that her friends' faces looked worried, too. "You mean there's something in the woods watching us?" Ruth turned her head and smiled at Dee Dee. "I don't think it's a ghost or anything, if that's what you're afraid of. I think it's probably just my brother. He likes to sneak around as quietly as he can in the woods." "Why does he do that?" Willie wanted to know. "Haven't you ever played cowboys and Indians?" "Well, yeah," Willie replied. "My little brother does, too. Only, since we are really Paiute Indians, he likes to be the Indian, so he sneaks around in the woods. Sometimes he plays just by himself," Ruth explained. "That sounds like fun," Chris said. "My brother is pretty good at sneaking around. He's so quiet he can even sneak up on me before I know he's there. Sometimes he scares me so badly I want to catch him and wrestle him to the ground until he begs for forgiveness." Dee Dee couldn't help but grin. That's exactly how she felt when Ruth scared them. "I know that feeling," she said. Willie was watching the woods to see if he could see Ruth's brother, but all he could see were trees, bushes, and wildflowers. He shrugged. "What's your brother's name?" "Eagle Feather," Ruth said. "My mother is a full-blooded Paiute Indian. Our family gave us Indian names as well as more common Anglo names like you have. My full name is Ruth Running Deer Thompson, and my brother's name is David Eagle Feather Thompson." "Is your family on vacation here?" Dee Dee asked. "We live here." Willie's wide eyes looked around at all the mountains. "You mean you get to stay here all the time? Cool." Ruth shook her head sadly. "Not all the time. My mom lives here all year because she works at the lodge, but my brother and I go to California to live with our dad during the winter. That way we can spend time with both our parents and go to school, too." "I'm sorry," Dee Dee said when she realized that the reason Ruth lived in both places was because her parents were divorced. Ruth sighed and changed the subject. "I heard you say you were going to find the horses. But the horses aren't at the corrals. A group of trail riders is due to get back today, but they aren't here yet." "Are there any other fun places to see?" Willie asked. Ruth pointed at a trail that curved around the cabins and disappeared somewhere in the forest. "That's a good trail to hike. It goes to a small meadow with lots of yellow and purple and blue wildflowers." Ruth glanced down at the ground. "Oh, look, they're so cute." Coco and Zach wrestled in the dirt at Ruth's feet. Willie laughed. "It looks like Coco and Zach are having fun." Ruth knelt down and petted Coco and Zach for a minute. Then she stood up and waved goodbye to everyone. I better go see if my mom wants me for anything. Bye. Right after Ruth left, Sammy Tan and his grandparents arrived, followed by Jenny and her mom. Dee Dee and Maria helped Jenny carry her sleeping bag and suitcase into a cabin, while Chris, Sammy, and Willie helped Sammy and his grandparents unpack. Look at this, Sammy said after he had taken his suitcase and sleeping bag into his grandparents' cabin. He put a gray cowboy hat on his head. What do you think? You look just like a real cowboy, Dee Dee said. Look at this, Sammy. Willie put on his own black cowboy hat. Sammy laughed. When the shoebox kids gathered in front of the cabins, Dee Dee said, Is everyone ready to go exploring? We sure are. Willie let Jenny hang onto Coco's leash, and they started up the trail. I love the mountains, Dee Dee said. I wish I could live up here all year long. I think you would freeze, Chris said. During the winter, the snow probably gets so deep it covers the cabins. Then I wouldn't have to go to school, Dee Dee replied. Maria was following the trail behind Dee Dee. Dee Dee, you would be so bored if you couldn't go to school. I know how much you like to learn. Maria's right, Sammy said. You are the best student of all of us. You'd be bored if you couldn't go to school. Suddenly, Willie froze. Did anyone hear that? Hear what? Jenny asked. I thought I heard a noise in the bushes, Willie said. It came from right over there, and I thought I saw something move, too. I didn't hear anything, Chris said. Dee Dee shook her head. I didn't see anything moving. Neither did I, Sammy agreed. Stop trying to scare us. Willie stared at the forest. I'm not trying to scare anyone. If no one else heard anything or saw anything, then I guess I must be imagining it. Unless it was Eagle Feather, maybe he's watching us and we just can't see him, Dee Dee thought. She looked at Zach, but Zach didn't act like anyone was out there either. Jenny looked at Coco, who was sniffling the air in the direction Willie had been pointing. Maybe Coco smells something, she said. But Zach doesn't act like he heard or saw anything, and he doesn't act like he smells anything either. Zach is a good watchdog, Dee Dee bragged. If there is anything, or anyone out there, he would know it. Willie lifted Coco into his lap and wheeled up the trail. Okay, everyone, let's keep going, Chris said. If you haven't noticed, it gets dark pretty fast in the mountains. Let's go a little farther and then turn around to go back so we don't miss supper. Chris is right, Sammy said, pushing his cowboy hat back on his head. Let's go so we can get back for supper. 10 minutes later, Chris stopped abruptly. Dee Dee and Zach nearly crashed into him. Dee Dee stopped as fast as she could, but Zach kept going and pulled the leash out of Dee Dee's hand. What did you stop so quickly for, Chris? Dee Dee asked as she reached down to grab Zach's leash. I thought I heard something this time, Chris said, but I guess it was just the wind blowing through the pine trees. Just as Dee Dee tried to grab Zach's leash, Zach raised his head sharply, his ears pointed ahead on the trail. In a flash, he bolted away. Zach! Zach! Come back here right now! Dee Dee called, but Zach didn't stop. Dee Dee and her friends could hear Zach barking all the way up the trail. Then, all at once, Zach stopped barking. The sudden silence was eerie. Willie wrapped his arms around Coco in a bear hug so he wouldn't get away, too. Yip, 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 ruff, ruff, Coco barked and tried to race after Zach, but Willie held on tight. What's the matter with you, Coco? Stop barking, Willie pleaded. None of the shoebox kids knew what to do. They kept waiting for Zach to come trotting down the trail wagging his tail, but he never came back. I think something happened to Zach. Dee Dee's voice quivered. Let's go look for him. Dee Dee led the way with Chris, Jenny, Maria, Willie, and Sammy right behind her. The sun dipped behind the mountains, making it darker. I'm not going back to the cabins until I find Zach, she thought, even if I have to search the whole forest at night by myself. The trail wound slowly up the hill like a snake. Around every turn in the trail, Dee Dee expected to see Zach waiting for her with his tail wagging. But after 10 minutes, there still was no sign of Zach. At least the trail is wide and not too steep, Willie said. Zach wouldn't have gone too far, Jenny said hopefully. Chris looked at the sky. If we don't get back to the cabins pretty soon, our parents will be worried. Everyone stop, Willie whispered excitedly. He had been walking very slowly with his eyes glued to the trail looking for tracks. The shoebox kids froze. What is it? Willie whispered. Sammy knelt down to inspect something on the trail. Did you notice this, Dee Dee? Dee Dee bent down to look where Sammy was pointing. She shook her head. I don't see anything. That's just it, Dee Dee. Zach's tracks have vanished.
The
story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 10, Adventure on Wild Horse Mountain, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.